So, you know, one of our daily routines, I drop off my daughters to daycare every day. And during the journey, she usually loved to listen to some kind of music. And one day I listened to her hymn while I was driving, and then I heard this song called I Am Happy All the Time. And the lyrics somehow caught my attention. The song sings like, "Seen Jesus Christ come in and cleansed my heart from sin. I'm in right, outright, downright happy all the time." As if it's saying to us that after you became a Christian, everything will become right. And you will be happy forever and ever, which make me worried. I was thinking to myself, what if this kid who learned this song since she was so young run into difficulty later in life? Would they be shocked, actually, that they won't be happy all the time? Would they be ready for the difficulties in life? Will they be guilty for feeling sad, angry, or disillusioned? Will they find that Jesus in these songs become irrelevant or no longer trustworthy? So as we all know, life doesn't always fill with sun and flowers. Sometimes life gets tough. Say your application for school or job get turned down. Someone you love gets sick. You run into financial difficulties. Your marriage is falling apart. You have conflict with your kids. Relationship breakdown. Then suddenly life isn't rosy any longer. Your world collapsed just right in front of you. Your hope for a good life's gone. You're left in dark, cold, and lonely world. Your heart is heavy, dragged down by all the burden. You feel angry, disappointed, and disillusioned. You doubt if God still cares, if God is really that good after all. So now imagine life become this quote-unquote hell. Faith suddenly becomes irrelevant. I say this because I have that experience too. I remember when I just graduated from seminary, okay? I studied enough about God, and I was eager to go wherever God led me. I searched for opportunities, but then there's a harsh reality got into my way. My money was running out. I had to find ways to pay for my living, yet I couldn't secure any full-time job. My heart was troubled. I felt like God has forgotten me. I was so angry and in doubt. I was angry because God took so much trouble to take me to Vancouver, yet leaving me in a situation like this. I was in doubt as I wasn't that sure anymore where God wanted me to be. So I was torn inside. Yet God taught me something through this crisis. One fact about crisis is, no one can be free from it. Because of the brokenness of our world, it's certain we will run into some kind of crisis during our life. However, one thing our modern life doesn't prepare us is the truth about this, suffering and crisis. Even worse, our society somehow gave us the idea that you should avoid all the crisis, run away from it, escape from it. And then it creates difficulties in our generations. Generation with X, S, so generations. That we are easily defeated by any kind of suffering. However, the fact is, since suffering and crisis are so inevitable, training our soul to deal with difficulty in life actually is the most needed. And this is why our Bible got a section called Lament Psalm, which is very important. So Lament Psalm is actually one type of psalm in the book of Psalm. And they focus on the topics of suffering, mourning, crisis, and grief. However, we don't often look into it because it's so different from what we think about Psalm. What you think about Psalm? Wow, Psalm is so romantic. It's not. Some is so beautiful, this not. Some is so joyful, this is not. Exactly the opposite. The man's psalms can look pretty uncivilized. The emotion is raw and unrefined. The language is blunt and direct. And sometimes, actually, you may find a few Hebrew cursing words here and there. Okay? So it is, if not our English translator actually beautify the words, people may wonder, like, why can this kind of word appear in our Bible? For example, Psalm 109. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit. May the creditor seize all that he has. May stranger plunder the fruit of his toil. What is this saying? It's actually cursing. You see that? Not just the psalmist prayed for the death of his enemy, but he also cursed misfortunes to be on this family and his children. And then, like, he prayed that they lost everything, like everything. Their life, their fortune, even like to the point that they will become beggars. They will become homeless. They need to find a food among the garbage. Anything you can imagine. And then we wonder, how can a person following God talk like this? Can we talk like this? And how can this be in the Bible? Why? It's so strange. God allows man's psalms to be in the Bible. Not just allow, but they are chosen to be in the Bible. The man's psalm actually shows us a kind of faith we are not familiar with. Psalmist in the man's psalm is modeling a deep sense of trust. He trusts God so much that he can confide in God all his darkest thoughts. He trusts God so much that he believes in God. He believes God that he won't leave him alone, even in all this darkness, all these emotions. So, but we won't have time to dive deep into the man's psalms. Actually, it can become a course. But to put it in a simple term, what we can find in the man's psalm is most of the time a journey. A journey from crisis to peace, from desolation to consolation. So crisis brings desolation to our soul. Our foundational values are shaken. Our faith is put to test. We doubt God's love. We doubt God's natures. Sometimes we get stuck there and are dragged down by all the crisis. However, in most of the lament psalm, we can see the psalmist is going through this reorientation of heart through his prayers. The heart gradually once again anchored back to God. The reorientation results in a new form of consolation. They find a new kind of peace with themselves, with God, and their relationship with God at this point actually becomes stronger instead of deteriorating. So Lament Song modeled how a people travel along this journey, along this path from desolation to consolation. And the man's psalm is a workout for our soul to shape our inner being for a tough time in life. It is a preparation for us to face our crisis and our suffering. So today we are learning from the psalmist of Psalm 42 to 43. What happened to his team and this journey from the land of desolation to consolation. Back to Psalm 42 and 43. They are often treated as two parts of a closely knitted psalms. The psalmist in these psalms is living in a very harsh time. He cannot go home because the enemy ransacked his country. The temple of God is destroyed. He is there somewhere by the Jordan River, longing and mourning for the house of God. And it's at this point in life, he wrote Psalm 42 and 43. He sang, as a deer pants for flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? This thing I remember, as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in processions to the house of God. With glad shout, a song of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan to and land of Hermon, from Mount Misa, deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfall, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemies. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding love, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So at the beginning of this psalm, we can hear a troubled soul who are in extreme thirst for his God. He is in this land of desolation. The psalmist says, as a deer pants for flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God we shall. When shall I come and appear before God? So he is panting. It is naturally not a beautiful picture we have. You used to have in mind, yes, like that. It's not this deer leisurely drinking water by the river. This is not what the psalmist is describing. It is more a desperate soul that goes through extreme thirst. God has been absent for so long, and he starts to doubt where his help is coming from. So just as the deer is panting, the soul is panting inside. They have been thirst for so long. And however, for the deer, there's no stream in sight. For this soul, there's no God in sight. God is absent for the psalmist. And then to one point, he asked again. I asked to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? So he has been trusting God for so long. He always takes refuge in God. He always relies on God, just like all of us. Some of us rely deeply in God. We trust that God will protect us, will save us, will help us, will lead us. And we cannot imagine God rejected us, hated us, forgot us. The seemingly absence of God is what troubles this psalmist, and usually it's all what troubling a Christ followers in most of the crisis. And then that's what exactly I often heard when I chat or talk to some hurting people. The question they usually ask me is, Why is God? Where is God? Why is he not here? Has God forgotten me? Or did I do something wrong that at this point he is actually punishing me, or he hates me, or he rejected me? I can't be with my God for anymore. The psalmist is asking this question. And the psalmist knew God was his only hope of deliverance. It is the only place where he can find help. He can find hope again. But however, no matter how long he trusts, he followed God, the current suffering inevitably make us doubt if God still cares. So that's a question in our good time we seldom ask. If we are living in a good time with a comfortable home, like with a pretty present job, decent income, we actually won't think too much about if God is here or not, right? But it's different in crisis. When we're in crisis, the urge of God for God's presence becomes so intense that it actually makes us feel that God is absent very easily. We just immediately sense that God is not here. Is God here? We ask that question, and it makes us feel helpless. Help seems so far away. It is a very troubling thought to most of us. So on one side, this is this absence of God, and on the other side, it is the presence of a real enemies. The psalmist say, why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemies. It's a shout for help. It's a shout from the soul. He screamed, because the enemy present and want to drag me down. The enemy is actually actively attacking me. He's here, right here. And what enemy does is that they usually don't just want to crush your body, crush you physically. The ultimate plan is crush your soul. So the psalmist say, do you know that my God, my tears have been my food day and night. I eat nothing but my tears. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why doesn't your God show up? Why doesn't he come to rescue? Does it sound familiar? Where is your God? It's another way of saying, your God is not here. Your God is dead. Even if he's not dead, he doesn't care about you as much as you wanted. It's another way of saying, so now look at this. You are all alone now. You have no more help. You are defeated altogether. So the psalmist, the trouble of the psalmist is he's facing this real enemy. He's trying to destroy him. But for most of us, our enemy is not often like physical. More often, it's up here. It's in our mind. They come when we are vulnerable, often in our suffering and crisis. And a voice in our mind starts to say, talking to us like, so what happened to your Jesus again? Does he say he will come to save you? Where is he? Does God really love you? You still trust him? You know you have been waiting for so long, for years. Has he responded? Where is he now? That's our enemy. That's the voice of our enemy. So it doesn't just want to crush your body, but your soul, your whole being. And the psalmist now is just in this crisis, the absence of God and an enemy who's cursing, like who tried to crush his soul. So three times the psalmist mourned about this situation. I am in deep troubles. But what is interesting here is three times his soul responded. And we start to see something different happening. That's like a reorientation of heart. Because he said, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The psalmist asks, why is his soul is cast down? Why is his soul in turmoil? Actually, what the psalmist did was he's reflecting. Instead of running on and on, complaining on and on, he's having this important dialogue with himself. So on one hand, he knows that he's a man of convictions. Yes, he has been following Christ following God for a long, long time. He knows he is called by God to live in eternity with this perspective of God. But at this moment, his mind and body are under pressures. So what he was doing is he does not deny his suffering and his burden. He does not. He stands in front of God just as he is, not trying to hide anything from his dear God. So he's searching, but he's searching, searching a path back to the root of his faith. While he asks why his soul is cast down, he actually tells his soul to look up, hope in God, hope in God. So if you look at the problem only, you will be cast down. That's what happened. If you look at how the trouble in your family, your soul got cast down. If you look at the trouble in your school, at your job, your soul got cast down. If you look outside with all this coronavirus news, your soul got cast down. But put your hope in God. Look up there. Then your soul will be lifted up. But for normal people, it's like, we will ask, but how? It's so tough. How to look up? How? In the reorientation of heart, there's actually two movements of heart. I would say remember and praise. First, remember. This is the one word he keeps repeating. Remember. This, like in Psalm 42, verse 4, he said, this thing I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the thorn and lead them in processions to the house of God with glad shout and song of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. The psalmist remember the good time when he can praise God. He led praise in the house of God. That was one of the best time of his life, when God's blessing was so obvious. When God's presence so obvious, he could testify the goodness of God at that time. And remember, that's exactly what Pastor Kanan told us a few weeks before, to count and remember our blessing, not just when the life seems fine, but actually also when we are having a bad time, when we are actually in a bad time, remember the goodness of God. It's important to remember the good time when God is with you, the good time when you can see God's goodness, the time when you are full of joy and can pour yourself out for God. Counting this memory lift up our soul during the bad time. So if you haven't started yet, remember, start to write down the blessing that you are thankful for. Then when you feel blue, it will become a very good resource that you can take out your journal, and then you will remember, actually, God has been good to me. He has been good. Then the next thing is to remember who God actually is. Remember of his unchanging love, his steadfast love, when you are in turmoil. The psalmist, in verse 6 to 7, he says, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, this is where he is at that moment. Deep call to deep at the roar of your waterfall, all your breakers and your wave have gone over me. Deep call to deep at the roar of your waterfall, all your breakers and wave have gone over me. The psalmist is in a very devastating time when he was lost in ground. The place he stand was giving way to the waves of suffering. He will be drunk in any minute. Remember the last time when you had that same feeling? The thing you're holding on tight for survival was gone. Maybe you got laid off. Maybe you had a bad fight with your children, then they're shutting you out. Maybe you found no way to mend your marriage and divorce seems to be the only possible outcome. Maybe doctors told you she has tried everything, but she still can't find a way to treat you. You are losing your ground. You feel like the wave of reality are drowning you. You find it difficult to breathe. When reality almost drunk the psalmist remember. He remembered God's steadfast love. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me, a prayer to God of my soul. The psalmist, in his bedtime, he instructs his souls to remember who God is. His mercy, His love, His deliverance, His ultimately His goodness. Remembering God's characters give us this faith that we can be certain of God's faithfulness. Because God is faithful, right? So we can be certain God will show up. There's no way that you can stop God because of God, who He is. He will deliver us because of His steadfast love and His never-changing characters. So sometimes we may wonder why Christ's follower can remain faithful to God in all their suffering. One of the reasons is probably this. One of the reasons is they are sure about God's faithfulness, His holiness, His mercy, His grace. So they remember that they have tasted it before, of God's deliverance, of God's love, of His presence. So now they are sure, even though He hasn't shown up yet, seemingly He hasn't shown up yet, okay? God will do the same. God will be here anytime. Even when their problem is still hanging in the air, even when something they want to happen still hasn't happened, they're sure God will be here. God will deliver them because God is their rock. So all this remembering brings us to the second movement of the heart, praise. The second movement the psalmist instructs his soul is praise. Hope in God. For I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Praise the Lord, my salvation and my God. But why praise? Why praise in a bad time? Because praise is an act of actively looking up. To praise is to again put our focus back on God again, not on the troubles. Not on my illness, not on my children, not on my health, not on my marriage, not on my job, but actively put our focus back on God again. To praise is to affirm who God is, affirm God's goodness, affirm God's mercy, affirm despite of all the oppression, God still sides with the good people. So praise is an act to attune our heart. Our hearts may have been obsessed with all our desolation or with the crisis, with the suffering for so long, we lost our focus. That's what desolation means. You become disoriented. But praise helps us to, again, anchor our heart to something right, to something right above our situation, and the name is God. And yeah, that's exactly what happened, because God knows the world gives us little hope. Things outside seems to be deteriorating, right? There are famine, there are plague, a disaster everywhere in the world, and we will get discouraged. But God is saying in praise that don't be discouraged. Put our hope again in God instead of the world. Your hope comes from God, not from the world. So by looking up to God through faith, our soul together lifted up by God, not cast down. Cause our soul move now into a new perspective, which is the God's perspective. And then now we come to a very practical question, how to praise. Because we are not David, we are not King David. We are not even the psalmist. When we are down, we don't feel like praising. Praise comes so hard and unnatural. And so the psalmist suggests that our mood and our difficulty can't prevent us from praising. And what's happening here? I'm pretty certain that he is not asking us to pretend that we are joyful when we are actually not, when we are actually sad, because he has been standing in front of God just as he is. The psalmist suggests his troubling soul to praise his God because it is good for his soul. So many of us praise only when we feel like it. I know that. When the music is good, we praise. We praise only when the lyric touches me, praise. We praise only when we are in a good time. We praise when we have the right mood, when we are happy, when we are joyful. We praise when my life is trouble-free. But the psalmist here actually is teaching our soul a new grammar. Here it is. Praise the Lord even when, because. Praise the Lord even when nothing seems right, when you are in a bad time, because God is my salvation. Praise the Lord even when I am in trouble, because my Lord is my rock. Praise the Lord even when I am defeated, because my Lord is my deliverance. Praise the Lord even when I am angry, because my Lord is my comforter. Praise the Lord even when the music is not my type, because my Lord loved me with this steadfast love. Praise the Lord even when this lyric doesn't match my mood right now, because my Lord knows my heart. Praise the Lord even when it is early in the morning, I'm still sleepy, because I can praise my Lord day and night. Then let praise soul, train our soul to reorient to God, reorient to a person above our problem, reorient to a person above ourselves, reorient to the God who has goodwill to us. So that is what Daryl Johnson said. Praise is actually the gift from God to his people. The truth is, God doesn't need our praise. But during praise, something happened to our soul. Something happened to our relationship with our God. During praise, our eye, our soul are lifted up by God. During praise, our soul is being shaped, giving us a God's perspective so that we can face our reality and our life. So praise, despite of our mood and circumstances. Praise so that God's character can shine onto you and God become the focus of your focus throughout the week. Praise with an open heart to God. Praise and stand in front of God as ourselves and welcome his light into your whole being. So the psalmist's soul is through this process of remembering and praising is lifted up. You can actually see this change in orientation in Psalm 43. His situation, actually, if you read Psalm 43 carefully or you listen to the psalm earlier, you can see that the situation remained the same. His enemy is still there. The absence of God still looks like in face. God hasn't taken away his enemy, and God seems to be still like far. But the psalmist come to a very different part of the journey. The part of consolation. Because he's saying in verse 3 to 4, he say, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with my lyre, O God, my God. Someone will think that this is something referring to the future when the problem is gone, which is actually not. If you refer to the original text, it's all in present tense. That means, I am in this trouble, but I'm going to praise you. I am in this trouble, but I will sing with joy. The transformation already happened to his soul. He does not only ask God to take away his enemy. Instead, he asks God for something different. God, shine your light on me. Lead me to you with your light and your truth. Lead me to yourself. And then he said, right now, I choose very important thing. I choose that I will praise you in joy no matter what. The desolation doesn't turn him, drunk him any longer. He won't be drunk by his suffering. The enemy can't crush his soul. He's above his problem, though he's still there. He choose to put his trust in God for what he has done and who he is. At this point, he seems to show us a deeper conviction that God is his God. He arrived at this point of consolation. He finds peace again, once again, with himself and with God. So the psalmist in this psalm shows us a journey from desolation all the way to consolation. Many of us have been traveling this journey before. Many of us still traveling this journey. And sometimes we have doubts. We feel angry. We are disillusioned. And we doubt when we can have peace again. And this Psalms, what's surprising to us is, while we all expect that consolation comes only when problems or challenges are solved. However, it seems that when a soul learns to look up to God, look up to His character, His goodness, consolation can come earlier. Not just earlier, but we can actually grow through the problem and challenges, and the challenges become a very good ground for us to grow. We become more mature, we become stronger in faith. It seems like we can grow through this crisis. So, this is the workout for your soul. Remember and praise. Remember how God has been with you, delivered you, who God is, and praise for what He has done, who He is. So that our soul knows that what to do when life becomes tough. So that our soul can have a deep conviction that God is still there for us, even when things turn out not as we wished. So that our soul knows God still loves us, even when we are in the dark valley. That's one of the reasons why we gather here every Sunday, to work out our soul in our praise. We praise the Lord together. Together, we learn this new grammar for praise. We learn a new attitude of praise. So let's end today with time of reflections. Let's stand. Let's spend a few moments of quiet time in the Lord. So maybe you are having a bad time right now in life, facing a real crisis, or life is just fine for you. If this is a good time, remember God's good. Remember His blessing. If today is a bad day, remember God has been good to you, and He will be still good to you today and in the futures. Lord, help us. Help our soul. Let us encounter You deeply. Let our soul be lifted up by You in our praise.
On the day the earth was born, in each miracle performed, in every life transformed, You are there. In our joy and in our grief, in our doubts and our belief, in our waking and our sleep, You were there.
Faithful Father, only God is mighty Savior. Only God is like no other. Only God, our God.
With each broken heart
made new, in each storm You brought us through. Every breath we breathe is proof that You are there. Faithful Father, only God is mighty Savior. Only God is like no God is never changing. faithful to do it all again. Be your glory and honor. Amen. Unto him who is faithful to do it all again. Be your glory and honor. Amen. Unto him who is faithful to do it all again. Be your glory and honor. Amen. Faithful Father, only God is mighty Savior. Only God is like no other. Only God is everlasting. Only God is never changing. Only God is always with us. Only God, our
faithful Father.
Only God is mighty Savior. Only God is like no other. Only God is everlasting. Only God is never changing. Only God is always with us. Only God, only God, our God. Only God, our God.
Remain standing to receive the benediction from God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, and do not despise the word of God. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.
Amen.
So that wraps up our sermon service today. We will see you next week in our wrap-up to our Soul Workout series.